In fact, there was a really interesting study done out of NYU last year where they looked at AI, because more and more companies are using AI to do the initial screening. And they found that AI, and they looked at the big ones like Google's Bard and ChatGPT, if you put parental leave on there, they screen you out. So even AI is biased.
AI is discriminating against moms.
That's right.
Welcome to Checks and Balances, brought to you by Partners Life. I am Michael Vincent. This is James Blair. We've got Stephanie Powell, founder of Crayon, back on the podcast to tell us why mothers could lose up to $300,000 in retirement.
Stephanie, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
I tell you what, the last time you came on and we spoke about childcare, the feedback we got was insane. So we've already spoken off camera a little bit about some of the data you've got for us today. We're going to shock some more people.
I'm still picking my jaw up off the floor. Yeah. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. So Stephanie, tell us, what is the motherhood penalty?
So in the context of KiwiSaver specifically, it's the fact that once you have a child, often mothers, KiwiSavers, or the primary carer in New Zealand, that's mostly mothers, takes a big hit. So research done, I think about a year and a half ago, found that that hit can be as much as $318,000 by the time you reach retirement. And that's based on someone choosing to become a full-time parent from the age of 30. You think about that, fast forward to retirement and assuming life expectancy of, let's call it like 84, that's about $17,000 less per year that you have to live on.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. And then for those who are 30 right now, right, you might think about the impacts on New Zealand superannuation in the future, what if it'll be there, what it might look like. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a lot of money.
It is. And even if you, say, account for a year of parental leave, that report estimated that by the time you reach 65, that could be worth about $15,000 just that 1 year alone.
Yeah. And what about, I mean, you know, thinking about that, unfortunately, half of couples, you know, end up divorced. There's also some, you know, big implications that if somewhere down the future you've got to look after yourself, if you're single or whatever it might be, if you're not looking after your own KiwiSaver, that could put you in a really, really tough spot.
That's right. And I know under the law, KiwiSaver, the contribution that's made to it between, I think, when you get together and then when you split is divided.
Yep.
But having said that, generally KiwiSaver is built for one person's retirement, not for two. And so in New Zealand, that's why we're seeing actually the largest demographic looking for emergency and transitional housing are women over the age of 65.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying. Yeah.
What's happening? Do we have any like reason on why women are in that position?
If we think about the generation that's at that age at the moment, they were probably less likely to be in paid work, potentially less likely to be in senior positions that are associated with higher salary, potentially more likely to have had their partner manage their finances. Mm. And women also outlive men. We have longer life expectancies.
I mean, so the question is, I guess, that stat around over 65 females looking for emergency accommodation, looking for accommodation, we don't want that for those listeners going forward. So how do we bridge that gap? What can we be doing to make sure we're not one of those statistics?
And just to add a bit more color to that gap, the average KiwiSaver balance for women in New Zealand is 25% lower than it is for men's as it stands today. And that when you look at the chart, the gap widens as people age.
Yeah.
So it is a big issue. In terms of what you can do about it, if you're thinking of having a child and you're eligible for paid parental leave, it's helpful to know that from the 1st of July this year, the government will start to make the equivalent of employer contributions on that paid parental leave amount. So keep in mind, paid parental leave capped at $712.17 per week for 26 weeks. So the most kind of contribution you can get from that is $555. So the thing to note with that is, unlike normal employment where KiwiSaver is a default, with paid parental leave, you have to opt in to have KiwiSaver taken out. And right now, 85% of people don't do that because it's such a small amount already. People need every penny. But from the 1st of July, if you opt in, you'll be able to get that extra contribution from the government. You also want to keep in mind that that $555 gets you somewhere to your member tax credits. But obviously, you might need to put in a little bit more to maximize what you can get from the government every year. That free money, right? Like, how often do you get free money? And I'm sure you probably talk about it a lot in this podcast.
Yeah, and just as a reminder, the government tax credit is if you put in $1,000 over a year, the government will put 5 $500 in. Yeah, obviously 85% not contributing to KiwiSaver. It doesn't really surprise me as a stat because you think about it, they're not thinking about 30, 35 years into the future. They're thinking, I've got another mouth to feed. I've got to pay for diapers. We spoke about the terrifying stats around childcare that are around the corner. Mm. They're probably not thinking about, I'm going to be $300,000 worse off in 35 years. They're thinking, I'm dealing with cost of living, 7% interest rates, right?
Absolutely. And I get it. I understand why you need every dollar from paid parental leave because, let's be frank, paid parental leave is paid at less than full-time minimum wage.
Mm.
So I totally get why even contributing 3% might feel like a stretch. So I think that then brings us to what else can you do about it if, contributing on paid parental leave, just isn't right for your family. I think there's potentially a couple of things. One is you could think about contributing before you go on parental leave or when you come back. Also acknowledging that not everyone is in that position, but if you are, one thing I remember hearing someone talk about it, so I upped my rate to about 8% just in those last couple of months before I went. And it was still a bit crunchy, but thinking, okay, when are some other times? It doesn't have to be right now. And that's why we built a calculator actually on our website that shows you what you're going to miss out on during parental leave, but also how quickly you can catch up if you increase your rate to, even from 3% to 4%, et cetera. So that's one thing you can do. The other thing is having a conversation with your partner. So again, thinking about the family budget rather than just your income, is there scope to make some sort of contribution from the family finances into your KiwiSaver? So while your partner will contribute if they're working, I think there's also a question of, it's your KiwiSaver. You get to choose which fund it's in. You get to choose what type of risk it's in. That might actually be quite different to what your partner has chosen. And I'm sure you've covered it before, but the difference between a conservative fund, a balanced fund, an aggressive fund in the long term, huge variation in the return. So I think having control over that and being able to protect that nest egg, even though under the eyes of the law, it's joint assets if you split, it's still having your say on how you want your retirement to look.
Yeah, and I guess it's one of those things where the calculator would be really useful because you really don't know what you don't know. And what we often find with people is they struggle to think about these things on a long-term time frame where actually a little bit more now will catch me up here, or a little bit more now will mean $10,000, $20,000, $100,000 at the other end.
That's right. And also the other calculator we've built is around the returning to work decision. So, if you decide to reduce your hours, that's going to have a KiwiSaver impact too. And there are very good reasons to do that, to balance your work and life, et cetera. But again, I think when we're making those decisions, we don't necessarily think about the long-term impact. We're thinking maybe the trade-off of childcare and income,
yeah,
but not necessarily what will that mean for me when I head towards retirement. Mm.
I also love in terms of the conversation around our household budget and whether we can contribute to KiwiSaver. Like you think about the conversations around budgeting, financial literacy in the country, how much couples are actually talking about their finances. I don't know why, Mike. I think about it. It's such a beautiful conversation for a family to have about, do we have scope to do this?
Yeah. And I guess it's a step change from, maybe a couple of generations ago where you just didn't have those discussions, mm-hmm. right? And you alluded to it before. There's some people who one person controlled the finances and the other person's along for the ride. And when that person isn't there anymore and they don't even know the code to the online banking, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you get in a real pinch.
It's a whole nother conversation to have another day.
So James, before we continue, I have got a special announcement.
Have you started sticking to your budget?
Absolutely not.
You finally made it as an after-hours DJ.
I wish. Mate, the thing is, we have got a brand new podcast partner, Partners Life.
You mean the award-winning insurance provider with over 300,000 Kiwis insured?
Yep. They're also a New Zealand-operated company, and they are passionate about increasing financial literacy amongst Kiwis.
Sounds like a great match. Where can I learn more about them?
Check out their website in our show notes below.
Really thought DJ Magic Mike was going to be a global sensation for a second. So Stephanie, I think another question as well is, so we're talking about a $300,000 difference mm-hmm. potentially in KiwiSaver balances for mums. The other piece is, if you don't go back to work for a while, or maybe you go back part-time, there can also be impacts in terms of opportunities at work, potential pay rises, promotions, which obviously all lead to a wider KiwiSaver gap as well, right?
That's right. That's part of the issue. So there's quite a bit of research showing that once you've had a child, mothers are perceived as being less competent and less committed. It was an interesting piece where they sent out fictional CVs that were identical. The only difference was that some CVs made it clear that someone was a mother and they were much less likely to get a callback. In fact, there was a really interesting study done out of NYU last year where they looked at AI, because more and more companies are using AI to do the initial screening. And they found that AI, and they looked at the big ones like Google's Bard and ChatGPT, if you put parental leave on there, they screen you out. So even wow. AI is biased.
AI is discriminating that against is mums.
That's right.
Wow.
So if you think about that, you know, part of that comes from people thinking that, you know, oh, mothers can't do this role. So they might say, oh, Steph's just come back from parental leave. She's got a lot going on. Maybe, you know, we shouldn't give her that project, or she won't want to travel. She's got young kids. So you never even, you know, your name never even enters the discussion for those, you know, promotions and exciting projects and the things that really move the needle for your career. Mm. And so, I mean, that exists. And there was an interesting chart in The Economist showing that I think the motherhood penalty is like 80% of the driver of the gender pay gap, especially in more developed countries. Yep. So I guess the question is, what can you do about it, right? It exists and you kind of need to acknowledge that it's there. And some of it's, you know, kind of beyond you, it's management, et cetera. But I think as the person returning to work, one thing to keep in mind is you've really got to be articulate and let them know what you want, because otherwise people will make assumptions for you. And so the really important bit is to say, this is what I want out of my career. What are the next development opportunities? What does it look like? And these things might change once you have a child, and you know, that's totally fine. But I think making sure you're clear about what you want and that people know will mean you're more likely to be included in those discussions.
Yeah, I like that, because we always, as people managers, you know, it's one of those things where we often get, or people will say things to me like, oh, I'm leaving my job because I'm not getting this or something. And I'm like, have you had the discussion with your manager? You know, like, why don't you start with that chat first before going to look for another role? And I think that people often don't make it really clear to their boss what they're looking for from a development perspective. Yeah.
And even, you know, a lot of people make the assumption that while you're on parental leave, you won't want to hear from us. You'll just want to be with your child. And that is the case for some people. But other people actually do want to be kept in the loop. They want to be, you know, notified if a big change happens or an exciting opportunity comes up. Maybe they would consider coming back for it. So again, not making the assumption that everybody wants the same thing, and having, as a people manager, quite explicit discussions before someone even goes on leave of, you know, how do you want to keep in touch? How do you want to hear from us? What do you want to be kept in the loop with, et cetera. I think even that can pave the way back in for a more successful return.
I think that's a really good point, because person by person, their responses are going to be quite different. And even once the baby comes, their responses might change as well. So I think, you know, the what can you take control of in that situation? And if your manager maybe isn't having those conversations for you to set those expectations with your manager.
100%. And we actually released a report this week based on a survey of 370 parents. And within that, in the appendix, are some guides, like how do you have those conversations? Because often we know we probably need to do this, but the how to do it part, we get stumped. And that's why I worked with a back to work coach to put some very detailed guides in for managers, for employees, and for organizations so they can better navigate that process.
Yeah. And in terms of that report that came out, were there any interesting insights?
Well, probably not surprising to either of you, but the number one challenge for parents going on parental leave and during parental leave, money. 2 in 3 cited finances as a top challenge. And in fact, it's sometimes a forcing mechanism, in a lot of cases actually, to return back to work perhaps earlier than you would have wanted. On the way back into work, number one challenge is with your employer. 3 in 4 had some sort of workplace challenge, whether that's, you know, the transition back into work, not having a clear process. You know, when you've been away for potentially up to 12 months, it can feel like you're almost joining a new organization. Your manager might have left, your colleagues might have changed, there might have been a restructure, the strategy's changed. It's, you know, it's a lot. Plus you're juggling childcare that we talked about last time, and kids and responsibility, sickness, etc. So it's quite a big transition. And again, I think a lot of people had difficulty navigating that.
Yeah, I was talking to a client recently where they were talking to me about that. So I've recently had a child, and their manager had said, hey, when you come back to work, we can be quite flexible. You might want to take more parental leave. You might want to come back 3 or 4 days a week. We might want to phase it in. You might need flexibility around hours. And then they came back to work and they were like, cool. Hey, those things you brought up, really want to take advantage of those, really appreciate it. And it was like, nope, don't think that's going to work for us anymore. And so I'm not surprised there's, you know, frictions with employers because what might have been okay 12 months ago, or maybe your boss is different or something like that, mm-hmm. can completely change. And then you kind of look around and maybe you go, do I actually want to return back to work? Is it worth it when I have to think about the childcare costs? Should I go and find another employee who's going to be more accommodating to me?
Yeah, and also not just the childcare cost, but the stress of like running to daycare and picking up and all the added mental load.
Charge you for every minute that you're late.
Yeah. How many days you're going to have to go to work versus being able to work at home or being flexible because you've got to get from childcare to the office back and back to daycare before it closes, and then you get like a penalty fee, right? Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to one of your calculators, Stephanie. Okay. So we've got that up from the website and we'll put a link. There is a lot of great tools. We're only going to focus on one today, but what are we looking at?
So this is a missed contributions calculator based on what might happen if you decide to return at reduced capacity, right? Which is usually means your income obviously goes down at the same time. So in this example, let's say your employer puts in 3%, you put in 3%. $62,000. I think that's even just slightly below medium income these days.
Let's ramp that up. Let's put in a $100,000 salary, okay. Georgia.
Let's say you were working full-time, you know, 1.0 FTE before you went on parental leave. You've got a balance fund. You're in the default.
Mm-hmm.
And you decide to go back 3 days a week. That's quite a common choice. Let's say you're 35 now, so you're retiring in 30 years from now. And then you could say, actually, I probably only want to go part-time until my child goes back to school or something like that, or start school. So five. So this kind of shows you over that period of time what you, how much less in contributions you're making. That's about 6,000. How much less your employer's making. Obviously, there's a bit of tax that comes out there. If you're missing out on member tax credits. So even in that 5 years, you're missing out on almost $10,000 in just contributions, yeah. right? It's still quite an early stage when you're planning for retirement. And if you keep scrolling down, what that kind of fast forward, you know, that's almost $25,000 less at retirement. And then again, if we assume you live to about 83 and a half, and you know, there's no more growth in your investments after retirement. I'm sure you could make that happen as financial advisors, but let's be conservative. That's still $1,300 less every year,
yeah.
right? And you think about that. So that's kind of what this looks like. And then further down, it shows if you increase your contribution rate from 3, 4, 6, 8, 10%, how much extra would that mean per month? And is there going to be a gap, or are you going to be actually putting in more? So again, coming back to what can you do about it? I know not everyone's in a position to increase, but you know, maybe further down the track, maybe as you get your next career, you know, uplift or next earning, you might say, okay, when I get my next promotion, I'll you know, dial it up at that point. Just thinking about, okay, what can I do about it? Perhaps even not today, but tomorrow.
Yeah, it's really powerful because again, you don't know what you don't know, and trying to make these decisions blind and guessing like, I know I should be doing this, but I don't quite know how much or what it impacts me over the long term is probably quite a common thing. So a really good tool.
Yeah, it's just about the clarity of decision making, right? There's not a right or wrong. It's understanding if I do this, here is going to be the impact later on. And I can't stop thinking, Stephanie, about that over age 65, the number of females in those accommodation situations. It's just incredibly sad. And it's like, well, how do we fix that? Short term, very hard. It's about having these conversations really early, right? And providing the right education so we fix that statistic.
Yeah. So in New Zealand, amongst the homeless population, just over half are women. And that's quite high compared to other developed countries as well. So it's certainly something we need to acknowledge, but also think about, to your point, you know, what can we do today? And I think part of it is what individuals can do. If I potentially stand on a soapbox, then part of it is also structural, right? We don't value caregiving the same way we value paid work in this country. There's no carer credits. If you're a full-time parent, there's no parental leave. There's no KiwiSaver contribution. You know, I think that should probably be part of the conversation too.
All right, Steph. So there is the gap. You know, $300,000 is a lot of money. There's the question of what we can do, how we can educate ourselves. You're out there talking to a lot of employers. What are employers doing?
We are seeing more employers recognize this and want to do something about it. So we run the New Zealand Parental Leave Register. We have over 250 verified parental leave policies available. Anyone can come on and have a look. And we ran a report last year, and what we found is 1/3 of the employers on the register actually make KiwiSaver contributions equivalent to what you would have received up to 12 months. So they really want to make sure you're not falling behind as much as possible. Another third offer paid parental leave, and therefore they, on top of that, say we'll give you KiwiSaver contributions on that part. So it might not be the full 12 months, but some of that paid parental leave is up to 6 months. So it, again, goes some way. And then a third do the statutory entitlements, which is we'll contribute when you're back at work.
Yeah. Two-thirds is pretty good on the platform. Is that, how do you feel about that stat? Do you think employers are doing enough there?
I think they're doing a lot more than they were, say, even 5 years ago, right? Mm. So it's a moving conversation. And lately we've seen some employers update their policies, and that's been an area they've chosen to update.
So Stephanie, thank you very much for joining us. So if you are interested in kind of, once again, when we talk about making the clarity of decision-making right, so many good tools on your website to go and check out.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we try and help parents. I'm a big believer in kind of forearmed is forewarned. You know, there's no right, single right decision, but there's probably a right decision for your family. And the more information you have, the better you can make those decisions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you very much for joining us. Thank you, Partners Life. Please subscribe, review, and like, and we will catch you next time.
Cheers.